All information contained in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider your individual circumstances. You should consider the appropriateness of this information with regards to your individual objectives, financial situation, and needs. Welcome to Sharing More Than the Sheets, a podcast to help you and your partner make better financial and lifestyle decisions so that you can both focus on the things that you love. I'm your host, Michael Curry, financial planner, green thumb, husband, and just dad. This segment is called Michael's Magic Moment. It's my opportunity to play a little snippet from one of our previous episodes, which resonated with our listeners, that I received feedback from, or I felt really had an impact on some people's lives. Hope you enjoy. With money, it's incredibly important for a person to understand and to acknowledge that we all have a different relationship with money. And especially in a relationship, when two people have different relationships with money, it's vital to be able to understand, A, what relationship the other person has with money, and secondly, to be accepting of the fact that not everyone's going to have the same relationship with money. Today, we go back to an episode that I did early on with Dr. Charles Chafin, and we talked about this exact topic. Now, Dr. Charles has written books on this topic. He has a course for financial advisors, and he gets into some serious, you know, some very, very important areas, and talks about some lived experiences that some may have early on in their life, and how that dictates how they manage money later on in life. And he even touches on just a few behavioral things as well that really we should all be aware of, because once we understand the relationship we have with money ourselves, it actually makes it so much easier to be able to set goals, work towards goals, achieve goals, and just to work with our own mindset. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. For some people, they love complicated budgets. To some, they love simple budgets. Some people need a goal, that they need something to work towards to save money. Some people don't. It's very easy for them to just save money. And I encourage you to go back to this episode, listen to the whole thing, even forward it to your partner. There's a chance that, you know, he might say something, even in this snippet, you'll be like, you know what? I think he actually has a point. And I think he or she needs to listen to this. And it's all about being on the same page. It's all about being aware. And once you're aware, you are able to improve not just your relationship with money, but maybe the relationship you have with your partner when it comes to money. And hopefully it will help you both work together as a team to not just achieve your goals, but smash them and create bigger ones. Yeah, so I think for me, it was probably in my second year of it being an advisor where I realized there was more to money than, I guess, behavior or how, you know, habits, I should say. Like for example, I'd have clients, I'd be showing them budgeting, I'd be talking to them about how to structure bank accounts, all these different things. But then sometimes it just still wouldn't work. Like there was always something holding them back from achieving it. And over time, I slowly realized that there is so much more to it. And I mean, we hear all about, you know, this whole relationship with money that people have. And a lot of it has to do with the way we were raised and how we feel about money as well. I know it's a very, very broad topic and we can talk about this for hours, but could you maybe just probably touch on that topic and just explain why everybody treats money differently?
Yeah, it's a huge question. And, you know, at a 30,000 foot level, you start to think that, you know, we have all of these things working against us. It's amazing that we're able to get anywhere when it comes to financial well-being, most notably because, you know, first and foremost, we have all of this. You know, your listeners right now have devices that they're listening to this on that the software gets updated regularly. Yet the most important piece of hardware that we all have, which is our brains, haven't been updated in 100,000 years. And that we have instincts based upon that, those, you know, those medieval brains, such as, you know, they're designed for hunting and gathering and instant gratification and those types of things, which go against everything that's really important, that's important to us in trying to be successful with money. And then you add to that not only instincts, but you add to what we call money scripts, which are basically these financial flashpoints that we have that Brad and Ted and I write about, that, you know, certain things that we remember in our childhood that somehow impact the way we address money now. So that could be, you know, things as simple as, you know, rich people are, you might have heard a parent say rich people are bad or something like that. And that could create elements of guilt or overspending in those individuals as adults if they're, you know, if they're making money and whatnot. So we have a lot of things that work against us in trying to get, trying to meet whatever financial goals that we have. And that's not even getting into elements of the marriage or the family element as well. So in all of our work, we try to go ahead and identify all of the challenges, but come up with some solutions in trying to address it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that the money scripts, things from childhood, because it does make sense. I mean, to the point where, for example, some people they'll grow up with an excuse, giving themselves, I guess, a reason to not pursue wealth, for example, because it's just never, it was always seen as like an evil topic, for example, or something that, you know, oh yeah, our family doesn't, we don't want that, for example. And it's, And I find as well, and we've seen this all the time, but those that don't grow up with much are normally the most hungry in some cases as well. And I don't know, it could be just that they appreciate money more growing up, or it could be that they, you know, that they just have different behaviors. But I've just found that there's a very big distinction as well between those that grew up with, you know, I guess you can say everything they wanted, and those that grow up with many memories of not having much of what they wanted at all.
Yeah. You know, I my head immediately goes to kind of what we call a scarcity mindset of individuals who grew up without means in some way, shape, or form. And that scarcity mindset, there's lots of great research on scarcity, whether it's related to money, whether it's related to time and meetings, it could be any number of things. But a scarcity mindset really is a lens by which we look at how we're going to spend our time, how we're going to spend our resources. And so if you grow up without means, that affects how you save. It affects how you invest. It affects how you have money on hand. And in a lot of cases, there are lots of different factors here, as we talked about. So I don't want to oversimplify this, but in a lot of cases, the folks that have a scarcity mindset and go on to, you know, earn a little bit of money as adults, they tend to be the ones that they don't have a 6 or 9 month rainy day fund. They tend to have a 12 or 15 month rainy day fund, right? Because that's the mindset by which they're thinking about things. So absolutely. And there's a great book actually called Scarcity. And I can send that over to you if you have show notes or whatnot. That's a really fascinating look at how we kind of look at when we have less and how that impacts our behaviors.
Yeah. Okay. Because even you're right, in those cases, I feel like, and again, this is just talking to clients. I'm not a expert in psychology in any way, shape, or form, but the impression that I get is that they're holding on to it because it's something that they never used to have. And I feel like, and I hear this from clients regularly, but there's even an anxiety sometimes when it comes to touching their money. So if they've built up the savings, for example, even when it comes to spending it on themselves or spending it on something, there's literally an anxiety around even talking about money. So can you maybe just touch a little bit on that as well? Because even those that are listening to this that probably do experience that, just even talking about money with their partner or with their financial advisor, what are some, I guess, a little bit of background as to maybe why they're feeling that way and what they can possibly do to try to overcome that anxiety?
Yeah, you know, one of the primary tools to help with that, it really comes from the world of positive psychology, which is a growing area of research. And some of the things that positive psychology can give individuals who maybe are I think about it as being kind of a little bit of a slave to their accounts, right? They're watching the numbers and they're actually going without. And in some cases, you know, an extreme example is you have people who are living in poverty, but they're not poor, right? They become so focused on accumulating wealth for the sake of accumulating wealth that they're actually going without. And so what positive psychology could give us is really, you know, okay, how can that wealth transfer to a life well lived, right? Or goals that are met, you know? And so a lot of cases, what an advisor could do, and something that we write about and we teach about, is really, okay, where do we want to be in 5 years? Let's take the money out of it. What does a normal Tuesday look like for you? And it doesn't even have to be in retirement. It could be before retirement. And let's walk through what that day looks like and who's part of that. And then let's talk about how the means that this individual, this client, or this consumer has accumulated, how can it help achieve that? So now we're using that wealth as a powerful tool to get people to where they want to be, as opposed to really focusing on those numbers. So that's one of the primary areas I think about positive psychology more than anything is let's use this not. And that's why sometimes I don't like, and this is kind of controversial, by the way, but when you think about the term wealth management, it really isn't about wealth management. It's about managing the individual's life goals and their financial well-being, as opposed to managing the wealth itself. So always thinking about it as a tool to a better life.
Thanks for joining us on Sharing More Than the Sheets. Please make sure you subscribe to be updated with future episode releases, and feel free to share this episode with any friends or family that you think it might benefit. Please visit us at sharingmorethanthesheets.com.au to submit questions or requests for future podcast topics. These podcasts have been brought to you by Better Financial Planning Australia. To book a 15-minute phone chat, visit betterfinancialplanning.com.au.